Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Hey, thank you for those of you, for those of us who are staying here. Thank you again for being here today. I am excited about this time that we're going to have together with Chad. Just to kind of give you an intro, Chad and Holly and I and Chad and his wife Molly, we all met in Athens when we lived in Athens probably 11 or 12 years ago, 11 years ago, because we've been here five, almost six. So we met in a furniture store, actually. Holly and I were living in a one-bedroom basement apartment, and our parents and such were coming up, and so we needed somewhere for them to stay. And so we bought a couch bed thing.
You remember what color it was?
It was green. Olive green. Good memory. And so we somehow we started talking about church, and I think y'all were looking for somewhere to go, or we're kind of in between. And we said, "Hey, why don't you? We'd love to have you at our church. You know, I'm youth ministry." Da 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 da. And so lo and behold, they showed up, you know, because as pastors, you get a lot of that. "Hey, yeah, yeah, we'll be there Sunday." And then you never see them again. But Chad and Molly showed up and they hung around for about a year or so, right? Probably. Year and a half. And then Molly was in school at UGA. And so she graduated and they moved to Vidalia and lived there for
eight years.
And then lo and behold, we ended up here. And there, Chad, he's from here, grew up just right down the road. And so we stayed in contact the whole time. We actually looked at buying Aaron's house. Didn't know it was Aaron's house till after we bought our house. And then we realized. And so we've just kind of stayed connected and watched several football games together since we've all been back. And I'll let Chad share the story about how we got to today. But I'm excited to have him here today and be a part of his ministry and just to see all that what the Lord's going to do through us. So my first question is, how did you get to today and in ministry and all that?
Sure. So first of all, I have to tell you guys, because I don't want to forget, I am very thankful you guys have given us a place for an office for the ministry here at this church, and that is a tremendous blessing to me, to our ministry, and really provides a way for it to happen. And so from the bottom of my heart, I am very thankful, and I want you guys to know that it makes a big difference for us. And so thank you, and it's my desire to honor you guys. Of course, first and foremost, we want to honor the Lord with what we do. And by way of doing that, that we would honor this church as well. So, I was talking to... So, the first board meeting that we had, as I sat there, I never expected any of this to play out the way that it has. And some of you guys may know this, but I grew up literally probably 2 miles down the road. And I have passed this church through the course of my life. I lived here till I was about 20. And I drove by this church thousands and thousands of times. And to be here now in this capacity, doing what we're doing is pretty incredible. I was talking to Mr. James Meeks before the service started here, and he was trying to place, he knows my family, he was trying to kind of place me. He said, "You're not that crazy one on that dirt bike, are you?" Back in time. And so I grew up racing dirt bikes, and I said, "Yeah, that's actually me." And he said, "Well, it's a wonder you're still here." So, I don't want to ride dirt bikes anymore, though. I grew up and got a little bit smarter. But so as in terms of kind of the testimony of what brings me and us here to where we are today, I would say that pretty early in my late teenage years, early 20s, I just for whatever reason had a sort of desire for counseling. I didn't really know what that looked like. And at that time, I just assumed that if I wanted to do counseling, the kind of the way to go about doing that, and certainly I had in mind to do it as a sort of Christian ministry, but the way to go about doing that was just be trained. Like everybody who does counseling is trained. And so, I got a I got a bachelor's degree in psychology, in part because that's what I wanted to do, and in part because maybe I thought it wouldn't be too hard. But then ended up getting a master's degree in professional counseling, and that was in 2013. I was also, so we met in Athens. I still remember the night. I can actually picture Travis walking through the furniture store. I got a job selling furniture. My wife was still in school. I had finished school, and I just got a job doing whatever. We got married. I got a job selling furniture, and so I've told people that I could be an interior designer if you wanted me to be one at that time. But I can still remember Travis walking through the furniture store, and who would have ever known that here we would be sitting, you know, over a decade later, 2 miles from where I grew up. But in any case, we left left Athens and went to Vidalia, and I joined in a ministry called the Paul Anderson Youth Home. Some of you guys may have heard of Paul Anderson. He may have come and done some feats of strength at your school back in the day. But he was the world's strongest man. I think he won the heavyweight lifting title or whatnot at the Olympics in 1956. So we went and joined in there and I was a counselor mentor at a program for 16 to 21 year old court mandated guys. And these are guys who had been in trouble, and they came to our program many times in view of some other sort of, whether it be YDC or some sort of jail time and that sort of thing. And so it was a really tough ministry because in part of being a counselor, it was also my job and our job to hold them accountable to rules that they didn't want to follow. And I'll skip over a lot of details to bring to the, I think what's important to say is that season, I was there for 4 years, and that season of life was like the perfect elixir of trial to bring me to the point of desperation in my own life. I had just graduated with a master's degree in professional counseling, and yet I was just chained up in my own life. And I knew that I either the Lord had to change me or I had to quit my job. So I started talking to my pastor, and he referred me to a biblical counseling program. Now, prior to this, I didn't like biblical counseling. I knew of a particular guy who was influential in the biblical counseling movement. Quite frankly, I just didn't like it. But at that point in my life, I was desperate. And so I entered into this biblical counseling program. And I could say so many more things about that. But through biblical counseling, I thought I had a problem in my life. And the Lord changed my whole life. I was having a conversation with someone last week, one of my friends, Miss Rhonda, she's here, she's one of our board members, and we were eating lunch with one of her friends, and she asked me the question, what do you mean the Lord changed your whole life? Like, what does that actually mean? I thought about that question, and what happened in that season of my life is that I came to see Jesus fundamentally different than I ever had. There was a time when I went through biblical counseling, God did so much in my life, changed so many things in my life. And I said, you know, if I ever do counseling again, this is the only way that I'll do it. And my pastor was also encouraging me in that. My church said they'd pay for me to go to seminary. As I began to walk down that road, I'm going to answer the question, how did God change my whole life with an example. As I began to walk down that road, there was a particular time when I was really struggling to believe that the Lord could really delight in me. You know, we understand that I get that principally Jesus forgives, and I get that he saves us from our sins, but would God really look at me with affectionate delight? And I struggled. I was so struggling to believe that that could be true. And in so doing, I was like, Lord, I'm too messed up. I've messed up too badly to be used in any kind of formal way by you. I stayed up all night one night, literally till 5:30 a.m., just struggling with my heart in knots, and really just decided, okay, I'll just quit, and I went to bed. And the next day I woke up and I said this, Lord, if you really would delight in me, I need you to help me. I need you to show me. And I just began to pray that over a couple of days, and here's what God showed me. And it wasn't any kind of big spectacular thing. It was just, I remember walking through the hallway at my house, and the Lord overcame me with this conviction that, Chad, I love you so much, I delight in you so much, that I went to the cross for you. That's how much I delight in you.
That's good.
And knowing Jesus that way changed how I viewed him, changed how I viewed others, and it changed how I viewed myself. And we began in those years to look for a ministry. What I thought ministry would look like is that I'd be a pastor in a church, and that I would do counseling and training and equipping in a particular church. And to say all that quickly, a couple of years go by, we had various opportunities. Thought at one point that we were moving to Roanoke, Virginia in the summer of 2019. Got up there on the visit. It was a joint role between a counseling ministry and a church. And got up there. They were not on the same page. We came back and said, we're not coming here. We left going up there thinking that's where we're going. We came back. We're not going here. And I got to the point where I was so frustrated because things just weren't coming together the way that I expected. I said, you know what? I'll just go and I'll do something else. And we'll just join in with the church who's doing this kind of ministry. And so we attempted to do that. And what I'm doing right now in terms of starting a ministry and doing counseling is the thing that I said I'd never do because I didn't see it as financially viable. And so long story short, we spent a couple of years really in a season of trial. And I was working in commercial insurance, and the Lord just made me so miserable that I had to get to the place where I'd say, okay, maybe we should consider doing the thing that I said we'd never do, which is what we're doing right now. And we prayed about that for about 3 days, and I knew that this is what we had to do. This is the direction that we had to go in, and so here we are.
That's cool. So it is a story of God's grace over and over and over in a variety of ways, personally and professionally, over the season of, six or 7 years.
It is. And it's really as if the Lord just had to bring me to the end of myself.
Sure.
At every single step. And get me to the point of willingness to do what he's had.
Right. Well, and I often think sometimes we live in such a consumer, we can get anything we want. I mean, you can buy anything on Amazon and have it in 2 days. So we live in such an instantaneous, but sometimes God doesn't, he can work that way, clearly. I mean, there's stories in the Bible, but he also works over the long haul too. I think that's the...
Yeah, so God changed my life. It was 8 years ago now when the Lord, the particular season when God really started to change my life. And at that point in time, I would figure, you know, give me 2 or 3 years and we should be rolling, right? And here we are 8 years later.
Right.
And it was not always easy, but...
He's faithful.
It's been the right thing.
That's right. All right, so here's the big question. I know you mentioned professional counseling and biblical counseling. We're going to get to that in a second. But give us a... because we've talked about this, but I know I didn't know what that necessarily was before we talked about it. But give us a definition of, like, what is biblical counseling? Like, what is that?
So I've got my definition, and I can probably say it, but I'm going to read it. That way I don't forget anything. So biblical counseling is a process of intense discipleship. And I would say that As a sweeping statement over what is biblical counseling, I would just say very simply that biblical counseling is a process of intentional, deep discipleship. And so biblical counseling is a process of intense discipleship where one sinner sufferer comes alongside another sinner sufferer to fountain forth the life and teaching of Christ as revealed in the Bible to result in Holy Spirit empowered transformation that is connected to the local church. Now, I'm going to unpack that real quickly for you, because when I told Travis about that definition and asked him what he thought about it, he said, like, man, that sounds like a mouthful. But he's like, I think you need to shorten it. But I couldn't shorten it. So I would say that we often look at the discipleship process as just a process where maybe we get saved and then we want to grow up in Christ-likeness. But I would say that biblical counseling is both formative and restorative. Discipleship is both formative and restorative. Psalm 19:7 says that God's word both makes the wise, or makes the simple man wise, and it restores the soul. So the context and the concept of discipleship being a lot broader than what we've understood it to be. One sinner sufferer comes alongside another sinner sufferer. The thing about all of us is, you know, I don't do this because I think I have it all together or because I think I have all the answers. I'm just somebody who's been impacted by God's mercy, and I want to give that out to others. And Romans 8:26 says this, that we are all characterized by weakness. So it's one person who's in need of grace coming alongside another person who's in need of grace to point to the person of Jesus. Mm. And to fountain forth the life and teaching of Jesus is to say this, that Jesus is who we need most. So he is the aim of counseling. And that is true as for me as a counselor, for both, or for anybody who would counsel, for both the words that you speak and the way that you speak those words, the way that you live. One of the things that, you know, as I thought about professional counseling and the approach that I used to take, and taking a new approach that, you know, a biblical approach, is in biblical counseling, we're not left to our own means and ends. And that is to say that the Holy Spirit helps us, and the Holy Spirit is active in the process of counseling. And that's very humbling on one hand, and it gives us great hope on the other. It's humbling because I know that I can't change a person, and that ultimately nothing that I do changes a person, but that's the work that God does in a person. So it's humbling, and it's also hope-giving because we have the Holy Spirit, and that's different than any other kind of work that people would do in the heart. And to say that it's connected to the church is to say this, that counseling is not the task of one person to many, it's the task of one person to another. And what makes biblical counseling different than maybe a typical approach to counseling is that it would be right for care to happen, not just one person to another, but in the context of the whole body of the church who ministers to every believer.
So would it be, and you feel free to tell me no, would it be a fair assessment to say that whereas discipleship may be the big umbrella, which can take a bunch of different forms, biblical counseling may be a piece under that umbrella that deals with a specific issue or a specific problem or something that a person's having trouble with?
Sure, I think that's fair to say that, okay. That biblical counseling fits into the larger scope of discipleship.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so you've mentioned professional counseling and biblical counseling. Now, I know for most of myself included, before we started the process of New Mercies, I assumed that they were relatively similar. However, I know today, because of our conversations, that's not necessarily the case. It can be, but not necessarily. So can you tell us, like, what's the difference between the two, and why would you encourage someone, especially a Christ follower, to seek biblical counseling versus the other? I know that's two questions.
Sure, sure. So the biblical counseling and typical counseling are kind of similar in some ways in that, you know, with a more professional approach to counseling, if you will, or a secular approach to counseling, you're going to have maybe two people who are meeting together and having a conversation together. You know, I think that a biblical counselor cares about the people they talk to. I think that a professional counselor cares about the people that they talk to. I think the best way that I know how to give a quick glimpse at what's the difference between biblical counseling and your more typical professional or secular approach to counseling is that in a secular approach to counseling, the person is the center of counseling. In other words, how I interpret my circumstances and how I interpret the problems that I face and what I see as the solution, I see those primarily as they, if I was a counselee, primarily as they relate to me and how I'm interacting with my problems and my circumstances. And in biblical counseling, the focus is primarily on the person of Christ. And so that makes counsel look so much different, because I don't simply see myself as somebody who's up against the challenges that I face. I see myself as someone who lives before the face of God. And I see myself as someone who is created by God in the image of God, and God having given us His word about how we would therefore live as people who live in a fallen world, as broken people before a holy God. And so in biblical counseling, the view and the aim is fundamentally going to be at the person of Christ.
Okay. Just kind of piggyback off that. You said something in my office the other day, and I hope I'm quoting you right, or maybe you can explain it, but you said also that maybe the difference was goals.
Yeah.
And so talk about that just for a second.
So we would use biblical means for biblical goals in biblical counseling. And, you know, hey, if I'm at the center of my life, then the goals that I choose or shoot for in the process of counseling, those are going to look a lot different than if God is at the center of my my attention and my affections and or really just the aim and the direction at which I'm going.
So maybe I'm just, this is off the cuff here. So maybe to use the same language, professional counseling goal would, I want to just resolve the issue. Whereas biblical counseling may say, or may a goal may be, how does God see this issue being resolved? And what's my role in?
Sure. So maybe if I was in conflict with somebody and I say, I just want not to be in conflict with somebody, and that would be, you know, my goal if I was approaching it from a secular standpoint. Whereas in biblical counseling, I would say, well, what is it about my heart before the Lord that I need to settle as it relates to this conflict?
Gotcha. Okay, that's good.
And then, therefore, in view of that, settle the conflict.
You also said that the primary textbook for biblical counseling is clearly the Bible.
Sure.
Which would obviously be a big difference from professional counseling.
That's right.
All right, so the second part of the question I asked you, why would you encourage Christians especially to primarily go to biblical counseling versus the other one?
On one hand, that's a can of worms, but...
That's not on our sheet, by the way, either.
So I'll say this. You know, I believe that we are people who... we have a body and we have a soul. God's word is sufficient for all things that relate to our soul. As it relates to our body, God's given us medical doctors with expertise that can treat issues that pertain to our body, because our body has implications for our soul, and our soul has implications
Sure.
for our body.
Sure.
But for a Christian, if we say that that we believe in the person of Christ, and we say we believe in the word that he's given us, well, one of the things that he says in his word in 2 Peter 1:3 is that through our Holy Spirit empowered knowledge of Jesus, we have everything we need for life and godliness. And so God himself has told us that, hey, if we're having problems in life, we should come to him for the resolution of those problems.
Right. So it's not to say that a licensed professional counselor couldn't help someone. That's just saying that if you believe in the Bible and the Bible is sufficient for your life, you should probably go there first.
So one of the things that I said, you know, in conversation the other day is that, I believe that people can improve their lives.
Sure.
By going to professional counseling. I believe that somebody who's addicted to drugs can break free from drugs without Jesus, because it happens, right? But what if we do that without Jesus? And we still don't have Christ.
Sure. You felt their physical problem, not their spiritual problem.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So one of the cool things about New Mercies that I think is going to be one of the biggest, I foresee being the biggest, I don't know if successes is the right, but most impactful pieces of this ministry is what we refer to as the equipping part of the ministry, which involves other local churches. So take a minute and explain that side of it, because there's a side where there's one-on-one counseling, and then the other side of the ministry, or the other half of the coin for the ministry, is training other people in other local churches to be about helping their own people in their churches or being biblical counselors and all that. So walk us through, what does that look like?
Sure. And so I think in the bulletin you guys have the passage, Ephesians 4:11-16.
Yeah, it's in the in your handout.
I'm gonna read that passage right quick for us. So Ephesians 4:11-16 says this. It says, "And he," that's Christ, "gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers." So might we say he gave the pastors, the leaders in the church, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." And so right off the bat, I would make an initial comment that says that pastors are not supposed to do all the work of ministry. That God has arranged that the work of ministry is carried out through the lives of individual believers. And that is for, or until, we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we would grow up into Christ's likeness, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Instead of doing that, that we would speak the truth in love to one another. We are to grow up in every way into him who is head, into Christ. So he's given us one another to be equipped to speak the truth in love to one another. And finishing up in verse 16, "from the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And so to say this, that God's given pastors and leaders and teachers of the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, so that we would minister to one another in speaking the truth in love to one another, and the body grows to maturity when every member is doing its part. So if I'm a counselor, and let's say that I'm seeing 20 people a week, that's really not a drop in the bucket to meet the needs of an area. And I would ask you, do you know of any other biblical counselors in the area? There may be one or two people who are doing some other, or organizations in a nearby vicinity that are doing a similar ministry. But how many people do you know who are really struggling in life? I would say that we all know many people who are struggling and hurting. And 20 cases is really, again, not even a drop in the bucket. And not only that, but that's not how God's intended us to carry out this kind of ministry. Mm. the way that God's intended us to carry out this ministry is that every member of the body would be a part of speaking the truth in love to one another. So in addition to doing counseling, we want to form strategic partnerships, long-term partnerships with churches to equip the body, that is us, that is you, to be good speakers of truth one to another, to equip the church to counsel one another and to care for one another well. And that looks like a number of different things. One of the first avenues that we have that we're going to be doing is we'll have three classes that focus on training to equip. And that first class would be, what are the essential qualities of a good helper? Like, what does it take to be a good helper of people? Number two would be, what is biblical counseling? So who is God? Who is man? And what does he say about our problems? And then third would be, what are typical problems that people face? And what would it look like to walk alongside them in the context of the gospel?
Right. And so you kind of have mapped out, so that first class has, what, I think 10 different set, 10 weeks.
Courses. So three courses with 10 classes per course.
I got you.
That looks like.
Yeah. And so just for y'all, this is kind of what we decided our last board meeting is. A church would say, hey, we've got some people who want to do that. There'd be an upfront cost, obviously, because Chad's time's valuable. And then there'd be a participant cost as well. And so we'll talk a little bit more about how, if you're interested in that, you can get involved in that. But I'm Chad's right. I mean, even if all of us knew two people who were struggling in their life, just in this room this size, that'd be more than you could do at any one time. And so there's absolutely a need for people just like you to help other people just like you. What's our kind of win statement? Grow closer to Christ, move closer to Christ, moving ourselves and others closer to Christ. This is another avenue where we can help people move closer to Christ by speaking the truth in love. And you say, well, I don't even know how to do that, but I feel like that's something I need to be doing, or I'm interested in learning. We've got a way for you to do that. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But all right, that's cool. All right, so let me ask this question. And I know, so dream with us for a minute. 3-5 years, where would you like to see this ministry go?
Sure. Well, first of all, we do need another counselor. And I would say we have a certain and particular need for a woman counselor. And what that probably looks like, and I can only assume this, that here's how this process happened in my life. It happened as I was impacted by the gospel myself. And I can only assume that there would be other people who would meet Jesus in a similar kind of way and be burdened in view of that to help others. And so what that looks like is probably a sort of training from within, at least in terms of where it starts and other resources joined along with that. So I think that it looks like more than just one counselor. It looks like some churches, maybe a handful of churches. This is a long-haul process. I know some of you guys, you're hearing me talk right now, and you halfway understand what I'm saying. And I've walked this journey for 8 years, and It's a slow process to grow up. The process of sanctification, right? It lasts our whole life. And discipleship, that's something that we do for our whole lives. And so with some partners, some strategic partners, that is churches that are interested in this, that these sorts of seeds would be planted in the hearts of individuals in each of these churches who would then go through training, who would then sort of pick up the flag in their own churches to plant these seeds in the people in their own churches. And really, that's how it spreads, the process of multiplication through discipleship. And that in 3 to 5 years from now, that there would be some churches that would at least be on the pathway to saying, hey, we want to care well for people, and then therefore how we do that looks differently, that we're coming to be known as a church who cares well and that people are coming for us. There's also, I'm certified as a counselor through the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, that is ACBC. And so ACBC certifies counselors, we could become a certified training center for ACBC, where we would be able to train and help officially certify counselors to be good helpers of people. So those things are all in the mix of what it could look
That's
like
good.
A handful of years from now.
Good. I think the key word is multiplication,
yeah.
Not just addition.
Yes.
Right. All right. So this, I'm going to ask you one question, and then I'll get to our how we can partner with you. Really quickly, let's say there's somebody in the room who's struggling with something in their life. Why should they give you a call this week?
So I would relate that to my own struggle. When I was desperate, I just knew that I was desperate. I knew that I had a problem that had become a significant problem in my life, and I had no idea how to fix that. But I did believe that Jesus is who he said he is.
Okay.
And
that's good.
So for me, coming to counseling, so to speak, was simply a step of faith saying, I don't know what to do, but I have to believe that the Lord lifts up those who humble themselves. And that's what he says all throughout Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so in coming to counseling, it was one of the ways that I humbled myself, and I just found the Lord to be faithful. So I wouldn't tell you to, hey, call me or reach out to me. In order to reach out to me, I would say, if you would do that, that you would do that because you believe who Jesus is and what he says he does, and that we would go through a process to see Jesus in that
That's
kind
good.
Of way.
That's good. All right, last question. How can we partner together with you and with New Mercies?
So the first thing I would say is prayer, and I know that sounds, well, you know, of course I'm going to say prayer, but I really do believe that I'm doing what I cannot do. That I would sit and listen to a story that's a really hard story that somebody else has not been able to solve for themselves, that they probably talked to other people who haven't been able to solve it, and who am I to think that I can solve a problem? Here's the truth, I can't. But I do believe, as I've said, that in knowing Christ, we have what we need for life and godliness. And so pray that the Lord, by the power of his Spirit, would work mightily in the hearts of people, and that he would give us what we need, that he would give me what we need or what I need. I'd be lying if I didn't say that there was a financial need. Part of the reason that I have not done this until this point in my life is because I haven't seen it to be financially feasible. And here's the dead honest truth. For this ministry to last and for it to go forward and for it to make a real kingdom impact, there are going to have to be people who determine that this is a worthy kingdom investment. And so I would say pray if the Lord would lead you, if this is something that you would be interested in to support as a ministry. We certainly have those financial needs. Then also, you know, the first person that somebody's going to come talk to most often if they have a problem is their neighbor, their friend. And so that you'd be a voice to point people in our direction who have a counseling need. And then finally, we are certainly looking for people to partner with who are interested in being a part of this ministry. So if you're saying, hey, I want to be a good helper of people, you know, the Lord's called me to speak the truth in love to my church, and I want to do that better.
That's good. So I would encourage y'all as your pastor to just obviously pray for Chad and for the ministry. I would pray specifically. Whether or not you want to support the ministry financially, because I know there are absolutely financial needs within this that have got to be covered in order for this to be viable long term. And so Chad is the ministry is looking for partners It may be one time. It may be a recurring gift that you want to get. You can go to the Facebook page, newmercesbiblicalcounseling.org. If that's too much for you to remember, it's on our Facebook page on the post pinned to the top. If you'll click on the post, link to the website's right there. You can donate. You can set that up. You can mail it to the church. His office is just right up there. We'll make sure he gets it, okay? But I would encourage you to do that. And listen, if your heart is pricked, to use that pastor phrase, in any way that this may be something that you would like to learn more about, let me know, let Chad know, right? Because if the Holy Spirit is like working in you right now, don't wait for a month, because you're going to forget about it after you eat chicken today, this afternoon, okay? Go ahead, make yourself a note. You know what I do? If I got to remember something important, I set myself an alarm. Set myself an alarm on my phone, put a title on it, and when it goes off, if I can't do it right, you know, right today, I'd set myself an alarm. That way I remember to do it. But if your heart is stirred right now, don't let it pass, because you may be one of the multipliers that we need in our community, because we desperately need more people doing what Chad's doing in our community, because our community has a great need for people to move closer to Jesus. And ultimately, that's why we partnered with Chad as a church. That's why Chad's here today. That's why I personally, when Chad asked me 8 months ago to be on the board, I said yes, because this is an extension of what we're about, which is moving ourselves and others toward Christ. And so if your heart is pricked, stirred, whatever, the Holy Spirit's moving in you, don't wait on it. Be a part of that. And then if you know somebody or you yourself are struggling, it's okay. Give Chad a call. He'd be more than glad to help you, okay? All right, any last words?
I would just tell you guys again that that this is a tremendous blessing to be here. I'm thankful to be here this morning. And we are so thankful that you guys would give us the space in your church to begin this ministry. And I look forward to, I can only believe that there will be many people and many families, not because of me, but because of who Christ is, who are eternally impacted by this work. And so I'm thankful to you guys for being a part of that.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.